You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio. As you know, our broadcast is heard on the radio in Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and also northern Delaware. However, you can tune in live simply by going to your internet site, logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. In fact, I'd like to ask all of our listeners to go to the telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. We're going to have a very good, interesting show today. It is open forum, so everyone is asked to say exactly what's on their mind. Nothing held back today. I'd like to take this opportunity to extend compliments to our panel members, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, and with us again for at least half of the broadcast today is Curtis Ellis. He's the executive director of the American Jobs Alliance, a well-known individual in the media, and also a senior advisor to President Trump. Now, I would like to say, guys, that I go around to a lot of events and have people stop by, and everybody says one thing. They enjoy tuning in. They enjoy hearing what the people have to do, say, what they're doing to help the cause, what they're saying to make people's ideas come alive. Our panels, recipients, are very important. They're very important to us getting out to the public, telling the people what we have to say. The recipients on the other end are hearing what we have to say and taking some action. I have to say that this year we've had a tremendous amount of success with our campaign encouraging America's businesses to highlight on their labels and packaging that their products are made or assembled right here in the United States of America. Quite frankly, I have never seen or heard so many commercials where people are proclaiming that they have the products made in America, that they have gone out of their way to make sure their customers know that they're made in America and that we're out there trying to promote them. That's very good. Every day has to be a day to support American made, and I'm asking you to continue to do that. You know, we've had a lot of events happen since our last broadcast, and oh my goodness, it's almost unbelievable. We'll be maybe adding some thoughts on that today, but I would like to first call upon our panel members to speak up. And I'm going to begin today with Rich Logis. Rich, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, Curtis, can you hit that mute button, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, it's open forum, so it's, oh boy. Okay, tell me everything, Rich.
Good morning, guys. Listen, Michael, good morning to you and everyone. Curtis, thanks for being here. If you guys don't mind, I want to open up with something here regarding the Parkland school shooting that happened a week ago. So I don't have to reiterate all the sympathies and just the horror that the parents and the kids who were there endured, the staff who sacrificed themselves, including a student ROTC officer, to help students. So what I want to say, Michael, about this is that I'm going to give you guys this year a crash course in how propaganda really works. And if we want to have a discussion about our kids, about how to keep schools safe, about how to make them safer, if you come to the table with all of the same regurgitated, debunked lies, I'm going to run from you. And all of us should run from them. You know, Michael, I want to ask you something as the host of this show. I'm going to put you on the spot here for a minute. Why is it today, guys? Why is it that we have more kids, young adults, committing acts of murder, of violence today than the last one or two, three decades ago. Guns have existed for hundreds of years, right, Mark? Hollywood
Absolutely.
Put out violent movies for a long time, right, Michael? Video games. Hell, I played video games that were really violent when I was a teenager years and years ago. So these things have been around. So why is it happening? What's the real reason?
You're asking me, Rich?
I'm asking you, Michael.
I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is I feel for, first of all, the 17 young people that lost their life. They'll never be home as children to see their parents and grandparents and family and friends. And I think some good is going to come from this because the young people are going to speak up. And the part of the problem is because there's a great disconnect between our young people today. They're mainly focused on social media and not face-to-face talking with people. Many kids are not involved in the after-school programs. They don't have jobs, and this is part of the problem. Now, they've been announcing for the last few days they're going to sponsor a few youth forums are being scheduled. And, you know, when I heard that, I said, my God, I've been pushing that for 15 or 20 years. I feel that young people in America, schools, should always be holding youth forums and community forums on a regular basis with their parents, school representatives, teachers, community representatives, political representatives, all of them together talking about their situation in life. What are they going to do with their future? How are things going on in their community? Cameras, police, you know, armed guards, that's not going to do it. People have to communicate with people as they did 30 years ago. If the young people had more socials, like we just had this big event in Pennsylvania, Thong, and people and the kids danced for 46 hours. This was a great undertaking. They raised millions of dollars for cancer. Too many young people are not involved in anything other than their phone. I think really that more young people, middle-aged people, older people have to get together more often, talk together more often, and stay away from the news media who is just festering all this stuff. We got to have this, we have that. Let the kids come together and talk. I really want to see what they have to say in this forum that's proposed on the television. And I understand maybe the president may be going down there to meet with them. It's time for young voices, middle-aged people, older people, teachers, school administrators to get together and talk, not only in Florida, in every city, in every state across the USA. Yes.
You know, it's another day and another horrible school shooting in America. This time it was 17 kids that were ruthlessly gunned down at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. But, you know, by now, we've gone through this nightmare so many times, and we know the cycle that's about to follow. The blames, the politicians taking their positions, it's just untenable. Here we have a program where we talk about educating kids for a future that fits into a manufacturing base in America, the artistry of welding. We talk about all of the stuff, and we can't keep them safe in an elementary school. This is just absolutely deplorable, and it absolutely points the finger at our inept political system that is not solving a single problem. You know, shame on the left for thinking that the problem is assault weapons. People people kill people. Assault weapons don't kill people. Guns don't kill people. People go out with the intention of using ball bats, knives, bombs, guns to kill people. And taking away assault weapons, to me, isn't even a good start. It doesn't even address the problem.
Well,
shame on the right for thinking that any attempt to keep guns out of the hands of the mentally unstable is an assault on our Second Amendment rights. the right ought to be ashamed of themselves. The NRA ought to be ashamed of themselves. An assault on the Second Amendment rights. Who needs an assault rifle? And if you want to collect it and you think you have a right to collect assault rifles, it should be so hard to get an assault rifle that it takes a year of background checks, however long it would take to put an assault rifle in the hands of a true collector and not somebody that wants to kill people. So, you know, come on, man. The problem is mental health.
Mental
Let's
health,
back
right.
down to the base. It's
now,
mental
now,
health.
Larkin, before I go to Mr. Curtis, I'm going to say this. His lawyers are saying that he is mentally ill. But remember, he was not mentally ill, that mentally ill that he couldn't go out and buy 10 guns and ammunition for those guns. He was able to walk away from 36 visits by the police to his house. He was able to tell people on social media that he wanted to accomplish this. And the FBI, the local police, the school, they all knew that this was a problem. And entering the school, this individual entered the school, and he was able to get in. Because why? There's all of this has to be talked about, and I'm, as I said, about the forums. It's about time that everybody gets together, not just for these beautiful, you know, rope line gigs, but the political people, the school board, the people pushing the jobs, the trades, what's happening in individual communities. This would be an opportunity for someone like Mark to come and say at the forum for his young people in the Buffalo area, I need various types of employees. These are the people that I need. Places you can go to study. These kids don't hear that.
Michael, I want to hear. Our other panel members have to say about this. But you have to analyze the problem. And let me ask a question that they all can answer. Just like Rich has asked the question, I want to ask a question. How many of these events have occurred at St. Aloysius? It's St. Stanislaus, in the Catholic and parochial school system, in the private school system. How many of these things happen?
That is a very good question, and that gets right to the point that I wanted to address. This was a very troubled child. This was a very troubled kid. He and the system failed him. Our society failed him. And it's not about we didn't have the gun laws in place or we didn't have that law in place. It is taught that God is love. There was no love. There was no love for him. There was no love for many people. Our society has been bereft of God. We have turned away, and we have instead, we worship mammon. And when you don't have any solid foundation, you are prey to all kinds of the terrible influences. Now, let's get real here for a moment. Let's step back. Yes, there's questions about should 18-year-olds be able to buy guns or assault weapons or whatever you want to call them. But stepping back further, what is missing in our society that these incidents are happening on an ever more frequent basis? And the things we don't hear about. So we hear about when there is some kid steps into a school and shoots up the whole building. Every day we don't hear about the shootings that are happening in North Philadelphia, the south side of Chicago, St. Louis, Baltimore. On a regular basis, this many kids are being killed every day on the way to school, on the way home from school in the inner cities. They're not white suburban kids where you've got the son of an FBI agent stepping forward and organizing a march on Washington. No, these are black children, brown children, and they're being killed every day. They're killing each other every day. Why are our children killing each other? And you can take every gun away, and they will start stabbing each other. And you can take every knife away, and they will start driving cars into each other. We see that happening in other parts of the world. So we have to address the deeper problem. Jonathan Harry, a psychologist, has noted that there are millions of people on antidepressants. The doctors hand out pills like M&Ms because people are depressed. And so what do? Somebody walks into their office, say, I'm depressed. They say, take this pill. Do they ever ask, why are you depressed? What is causing your depression? If they started asking those questions, and some studies have, why are people depressed? They don't ask the question that way. They ask questions like this. How many people do you have in your life that you could talk to, that you could turn to if you had a serious problem or a serious emotional concern? 10, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that number was 5. The average number, somebody said, well, there's 5 people I could talk to about something that really concerned. Today, that number is 0. Most people have no one to talk to. There is a deep loneliness. There is a deep lack of feeling of meaning and purpose in life. It is no, and if you lack a feeling of purpose and meaning in life, you are susceptible to all kinds of mental disorders, emotional disorders, behavioral disorders. This goes deeper. The solution, I believe, is deeper than, it calls for us to look deeper than the political system. Yes, we must look at the political system. Yes, we must look at the legal system. Yes, we must look at the social service system. 39 times this kid's house was visited, nothing happened. The police were called. Nothing happened. The FBI was called. Nothing happened. There was a failure on so many levels, on the political and social and governmental level. But we need to start looking deeper. Where is the purpose? What is our purpose in life? What are we teaching our children that their purpose is? Is their purpose merely to become yes, you know, don't misinterpret my remarks here. Is their purpose in life merely to get a good job so they can buy a nicer car and better clothes and better bling and impress their friends on Facebook with more likes because they've got the better looking, ring or bling or girlfriend or whatever? Is that is that what we're teaching our children? If that's what we're teaching our children, there is no future for this society. And yes, the Muslim terrorists will prevail because they are teaching their people. Now, cynically, they are exploiting the need for a deeper purpose in life, and they're giving their people, they're giving these susceptible young people, say, there's something bigger than yourself that you can be part of. Now go blow yourself up in that crowd of people. How do you get somebody to blow themselves up in a crowd of people? By telling them they're part of something bigger. They're cynically using religion for horrible means, but that doesn't mean that there is no bigger purpose in life. And as I said, he's taught God is love. And we need, and not just some honey-coated feeling of kittens and hearts. That's not what love is. Love is courage. Love is faith. Love is the knowledge that no matter how tough it gets today, there is a tomorrow that will be better. And coincidentally, today Billy Graham died, and he spent his life preaching about these deeper things. And we need to remember that. That's my feeling. Look, we absolutely need forums. Young people need to be involved. They need to be guided through these forums by people with wisdom and understanding and breadth of knowledge and context, something that's what we turn to for the elders in our community. And we need to reexamine all of the systems that have failed time and again. But we need, let's not overlook the fact that there is something going on in this country because the guns have always been there. But, yeah. You know, when I was growing up in the 60s, you didn't have this happening. You didn't have people walking into schools and shooting up the schools. And we can put armed guards in every classroom. Is that the way we want our children to grow up? To be, we're calling them safe? Is it safe that they need to have armed guards in every classroom and then they start to believe that this is the way you go through life? by having an armed guard. And pretty soon those armed guards turn into the Praetorian Guard. And they're not there to protect you. They're there to tell you what to do. I mean, that's just the way things go, because we are flawed human beings. And we must always be careful. We're looking for the FBI to protect us, but the FBI doesn't protect us. And now we learn on another level that the FBI seems to be scheming, or certain people within these enforcement organizations are scheming to advance their own agenda. But I don't want to digress on that.
And, Curtis, you're absolutely right. And it proves the point that we have to get these forums moving forward, because I'll tell you why. Because now they have assemblies in school. The people get to get, they talk about the announcements, they say this and that, but there's really no participation from the youth sitting in the seats receiving the announcements,
Michael,
from the people involved.
I want to hear more.
Let's hear what you think about this.
I don't know how Rich, welcome guys. I don't know, Rich, how you knew to bring this up first, because I wanted to call you and have you talk about this, because I believe it was 15, 20 minutes from your house, right, Rich?
I've driven by the school numerous times.
Yeah, yes. So I've had guns in our house since every one of my children shot since they were the age of four. They're trained. We never had a problem, grew up with hunting, shooting, sports. Set all my guns on the table over the weekend. None of them shot me. Guns, you guys all hit on topics that are excellent, by the way. I mean, Larkin and Rich. And Curtis, you talked about the core value. I've got a 15-year-old daughter in 10th grade. Our school, our local school in Western New York, public school, has a state trooper that retired in the my city, Elma, hired him to become a police officer that stays in the school. Well, he's a great guy, not a good guy, and he befriends these kids. He's lost 24 kids in 15 years to drug abuse, and it's amazing, but he's become all these kids' friends. So he's on staff, but you're hitting on things. Larkin, you mentioned mental health issue. They got to be able to say it. It's a mental health issue. I had all types of friends in life. Many worked with Millwright, with gangs and everything. And all my friends, we never talked about killing people. I just, the disconnect here, but the mental health issue, I think there was so many flags, and I think people have to act and speak up if they see a strange behavior or a kid behaving. They got to act on it, because so many times this kid could have been stopped, but nobody acted on it, which is a problem. And kids are very smart, and I'm with you, Michael. I love to hear these kids speak it up, because they're living in it. They don't want to see these come to the schools. There's ways, I mean, with the school system, if we stop, I got a fingerprint. You got to put a palm, your handprint, to get on my building, and that's how we keep track of payroll. It's an instrument that you put your hand on, and they let you in. So I think schools could get tighter. But I'm with you, Curtis, where you don't want to make armed guards. I think there's many, many things to come after the guns. You know, it's like removing vehicles if you don't want car accidents. It don't make sense. There's some things, Larkin, I agree with, you may not need. But I have many different guns, and, you know, they don't – I've taught my kids how to work with them and train. But we got a mental health issue. Larkin – or Curtis, you're touching on something that core value is missing. We talked about kids need a purpose. It all ties together, but if the R side and the D side want to come together on one thing, it should be this thing to tie everything. Let's solve this in our country as a team and come together. This, they must act on it now and listen and come up with different ways, not a Band-Aid that doesn't make any sense for political gain. This is a serious problem. I got a 15-year-old daughter in school. They go through active shooting courses, you know. And to be honest, they said put an age limit on an M16. I don't mean that. The Vegas shooter was 60s. That's not going to do it. We've got to get to the root of this problem and work together with the kids, though. This is a big item, and I'm glad you brought it up, Rich, because it's very, very serious. It's the one thing that should bring everybody together that we work on together.
Yes, this is now – you're right, Mark. This is now a time. It's not a Democrat, a Republican, it's an American issue.
Not at all. This is our children.
We have to have our future protected, and we have to have them focused on the best that they can be at all time. And right, by the way, it is very difficult for young people to go to the counselor or to the principal and make any kind of report on the student. On someone else, because you're marked in that you were in the student, the principal's office, and what you said is briefly stated on a piece of paper. So youth says very little.
Calls up and says, "I seen this kid wants to be a professional school shooter." And
there's no excuse for...
You have to act on that.
Absolutely. And you know, Mark, here's another thing. The forums should be in every school, with every school board. If at least those kids get together and have a chance to talk, let the parents and the teachers and the school boards hear young voices speak.
Let
the kids' young voices speak.
It's their world.
And by the way, they're the future. They have to say what's on their mind, and then maybe there'll be a balance between all of them. Nobody speaks to each other. And by the way, when the cameras are off this issue, it will die again.
And it shouldn't.
It should not. And that is why I'm saying they should.
This is the one that can bring the country together.
That's right. This is another issue. And it could also help our young people with the job situations, the education level. Larkin, it's very difficult for me to hear when the visitors come in to the center and they tell me, we have so many doctorates graduating every year. And here I hear our statistics in America have dropped. It's disappointing. We have to start addressing these needs. We have to talk to the business people to find out what is their future needs, what is their needs today, and 10 years down the line. Because
Michael,
a kid in sixth grade has to be, sort of focused on the road to success. He's not going to do it on his own. Yes, Rich.
First off, thank you guys, because all of you have points. This is a much more intelligent discussion than anything you'll see in the Democrat media industrial complex, and frankly in most media, not just D-Mike. But with all respects to you guys, I still am not hearing what, in my opinion, I speak for me only. Tim, get the mute button ready. I still am not hearing what I believe is the primary culprit, the main reason why young people are committing more acts of violence and murder today than they have over the last three decades. And all of the good points that you guys made, there's one tie that binds it all. And that tie is called, it takes a village. Larkin, you talk on this show about the family breakdown. I want to ask, forget data and all that crap. I want to ask you, Larkin, a question. Do you think that more students have failed in school, have gotten caught up in gangs and drugs, have committed violence, have had opportunities taken away from them? Do you think more young people have been the victim from family breakdowns and it takes a village and where the hell are the parents than inanimate objects of guns? I have a hard time believing that you don't think that. And shame on, Michael, shame on, I'm not a one-issue voter, shame on any Republican, national, state, I don't give a damn at what level, shame on any Republican who doesn't make this a primary campaign issue. The tie that binds it all, Michael, is that culturally and societally and politically, we have made our kids nutty. We've made them nuts. We've taught them that it's okay to censor speech. We tell them that they're not really their gender. We tell them that they're a victim. We tell them that they can do whatever they want. Well, what do you guys think is going to be the end result of it all? You know what the end result of it all is? Nicholas Cruz. And you know what really keeps me up at night? How many Nicholas Cruzes are across America right now? It keeps me awake at night, Curtis, thinking about it.
You and Curtis hit the nail on the head. There's no question that political correctness, I hate to say that term, I hate to use the term, but political correctness, everybody wins a trophy, and then when you don't get a trophy, your reaction is typical. I mean, it all begins in the breakdown of the family, but there are so many offshoots. There's no respect for life. It's abortion on demand. There's no respect for
thank you
any sense of spirituality. It is in essence the moral collapse of the country.
And I will let our listeners make their determination and conclusions on why the moral and cultural and spiritual collapse and decay have occurred. Because I'm trying my damnness to not make this a partisan thing. I am. I'm trying my damnness not to.
Yeah. Rich, you
I will let our listeners make the determination on where that stuff comes from. But I submit to you guys and our listeners humbly that the main tie that binds it all, and I agree that solutions are seldom black and white, the main thing that binds it is called It Takes a Village. And I will allow our listeners to make their determination and conclusion on their own. I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
No, I just, you know, I train weekly with the firefighters, the police, Buffalo SWAT. I hear about inner city, and Larkin, you hit it. There's no respect for life. And Curtis, you hit it. God, I believe in and love. And my daughter went to a Catholic school, and it was a great foundation, like Little House on the Prairie. There's so much missing, but I think when you go deep into that, Rich, and that's what you're talking, it's that breakdown of family, Michael, you talk about. It all ties to this end product, as Nicholas Cruz. And it's unfortunate, and that's what you got to have. We got to have these discussions to get right down to the root cause. And this isn't an overnight fix, right?
And, you know, Mark, you're right. And I want to just add this. If we had these forums going on for 10, 15, 20 years, maybe those young people could have brought to the attention or brought during the forum that there are problem people in the school and that the leadership of the school should really take a close look at what's going on.
Michael, when I went to that school 2 weeks ago to do the speech in our local school, this teacher called me, and she was from the inner city school. She came out to our local school to get out in the rural area. She said these kids are being pushed too hard, calculus in seventh and eighth grade, college. You're going to only be this thing, and it's parents. She started this leadership program for the kids that were skipping out, that were missing. She wanted to give them another avenue, like Curtis, you believe in, giving them a purpose we talk about. Because they're pushing too hard one way, they're not giving them a choice. You got to let them be kids and be human beings and be okay to be what they want to be.
You know, we had an incident in Jacksonville last week, at the end of the week, towards the end of the week, after the school shooting, which obviously took front page news. 7-year-old first grader, a 7-year-old first grader playing basketball in front of his house, shot and killed. Because he got caught in crossfire, neighborhood crossfire. 7-year-old kid just shot down. And did anybody hear about it? Nah, that's not going to sell newspapers. No. That's not a big enough story. We got to stick with the big stuff.
That's right. No one hears about that. There's no march on Washington about him.
This isn't being politicized by the politicians. This is being politicized by media.
And Larkin, why I went to that school 2 weeks ago and did this speech, this teacher that came from the inner city of Buffalo left because the grass was high, the buildings were boarded up around her. She asked her husband for a $20 bill in case she's mugged. This inner city problem that you're touching on has to be addressed.
And where do they address it? Where do the kids go to a forum and say, I feel... You know, I feel great about coming to school. I feel frightened coming to school. Where do they have a chance to speak up about it? That's the biggest problem we're suffering from in America. They go home and they see the violence on TV. The violence is really what soured so many young people because nothing's exciting. Well, two people were only killed. Oh, 10 were killed.
Michael, on TV with this media. Would you trust the FBI in that? They must think, oh, my God, what can you trust?
That's right.
We culturally, Michael, as a nation, growing and growing year after year, we have a segment of our country that's a lot bigger than you guys realize, okay, and I realize, that shuns the idea of the nuclear family, that shuns the idea of traditional family upbringing.
And that's the problem, Richard. That's the core value of America was that, and they broke
the core
value.
Larkin, you know, whether or not, Mark, and, you know, it's prophetic, right? What you said, it's prophetic, because the war is ultimately won and lost within the four walls of the home. Now, I know we can't shield kids from everything. I understand that. And we got a lot. It's one of the things I talk about in my book, when it's out, 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat. All competition we have. We got a lot of parents, got a lot of competition today. Being a parent, my mother, you know, God bless her, she's living with us now. She raised four of us, Michael. And raising four kids, our audio engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, knows raising kids is tough. I got one, and I'm ready to flee the country sometimes with one. I can't imagine four. But ultimately, parenting, my mother would tell you right now on this show, Michael, that parenting has never been harder. It's always been hard. It's always been difficult. It's always, that, like Henry says, it's always the single most difficult thing that we'll do. And it's tougher than ever. And I just want to again, humbly submit to our listeners. If you don't raise your kids, and I'm not just talking necessarily about Nicholas Cruz here, okay? I'm saying this broader. If you don't raise your children, someone else will. And do you think that someone else is going to raise the kids to the benefit of the children? Do people really think that?
You raise a very good point there, Rich. The breakdown of the nuclear family is not simply this breakdown that just occurs naturally. There are many people, and there are organized factions within the society that want to see the nuclear family eliminated. I've heard them argue on television that, well, the nuclear family is optional, that actually in modern times, modern families have gone beyond father and mother and children. There are single-parent households. That's just the way it is. We should accept it, and we now have to adjust our society to that. And what that inevitably means is some type of corporate or government-sponsored daycare, and entrusting the raising of the children to the village that you talk about, entrusting your children to be taught and raised and have their values inculcated by some corporate entity, some social entity, whether it's daycare center, public school, preschool, Head Start, or the AT&T daycare center. And what kind of values are they going to be taught? Now, one thing you can be sure will not be taught in any of those settings is God, because this is now becoming increasingly an atheistic society that, well, we're too smart to believe in God. We're too smart to believe in something we can't understand through rationality and reason. And if you can't prove it on a spreadsheet, it doesn't exist. And that is the biggest fallacy right now, is the human factor does not show up in a spreadsheet. But whether you're Democrats or Republicans, you've got everybody talking in these spreadsheet terms. Is it good for the economy? Are we teaching our kids what they need to compete in the global economy? Common Core is going to provide the training so people can be cogs in the machine of the global economy and have the skills they need to compete with the Bangladeshis and the Chinese and the libertarian Republicans and libertarian conservatives. They're basically Ayn Rand type atheist economists, that economic man is indistinguishable to me whether you're talking about a libertarian conservative or you're talking about a Marxist. They both believe that economic needs and desires is the sole solution and the sole driver of the human spirit. And that's just, it's a bankrupt philosophy. And I believe I've digressed, but.
No, you're very well. In fact, something came from this broadcast today, and this is the kind of broadcast they need to have at public forums where parents and teachers and police and everybody get together to talk. We're missing that. And young people learn a lot by watching what other people do, especially what adults do. If they knew that their parents and their guardians were going to these types of events and they were invited as well, I think this would be very positive for the country. Now, when the cameras are off, as I said before, this thing will die as all of the other issues died. I hope it doesn't die this time. And while the cameras are on and while this forum is supposed to be taking place this evening or whenever, I hope that the narrators do not make it an issue between Democrat and Republican. We told them to do this. They didn't do it. We told them. This is foolishness. We're working. We're one people. We're one blood. We're under one God. Let's start being Americans. Yes, Larkin.
Let me ask another question. Similar to my one, this doesn't happen in parochial or private schools. And I think that's because the schools aren't run by the Department of Education. They are to some degree because they get funding, but they have to meet certain standards to get that funding. The way they raise those children is the way they raise those children. I'm not purporting to religious education. I'm just saying why. And nobody seems to want to face the answer as to why private education, whether it's religious-based or private-based, works that well. But, you know, when I was a kid, we'd walk home from school. I had several friends on my way home from school who we would stop or walk home with, and they were latchkey kids. They were latchkey kids. I mean, we've had latchkey kids in this country forever. I can say names, but if they ever heard me, they'd probably scream. But at any rate, they went in the house, did what they were supposed to do, came out and played, came back in the house and did chores or homework or whatever it was. It wasn't an issue. Now, all of a sudden, being a latchkey kid turns into an issue, and I really want to know where that starts. Where all of a sudden did children find themselves incapable of being a latchkey child?
Larkin, you were afraid of your mom or dad, right? I mean, you knew if you did something wrong.
Oh, no, wait a second. If I came home from school with a note from Sister Mary Fabian or Sister Elizabeth that I had done something wrong and that they took, heck, in the fifth grade, the nun used to take a hammer to us, hold the hammerhead in the grasp of her hand with the handle coming through her two middle fingers, and you'd get whacked on the bottom. Never hurt us. I mean, it hurt, but I mean, it didn't cripple me or anything. When I got home, guess what? I got it again from my old man, who said, "You mean to tell me that you annoyed the teacher? Wait a second. You embarrass the family name?"
Well said. That's right.
Yeah.
And man, there was hell to pay.
That's the point.
You can ask my brother about that. There was absolute hell to pay, either of my brothers. If, in fact, you got in trouble in school, you didn't want anybody at home.
So you didn't want to do that again, right, Larkin?
Oh, no.
But that's what's
absolutely
lost.
No.
Yes, no. Well, we're talking about the parochial system. My kids went to parochial school. I went to parochial school. Henry went to parochial school. When you walked in, you knew the rules and regs. You knew exactly what was expected of you. When that bell rang, there was total silence.
So what happened?
Because we didn't want...
Michael, in my business of RJL, when I talk to clients and they've got problems, listen, Larkin is 100% correct about something. Let's focus on the solutions. But I think that we'll all agree. I think we'll agree on this. I don't mean to speak for you guys, but I think we'll agree that if we want to find a solution, we need to find what the damn cause of the problem is.
Right.
Or causes, right? Multiple. What is the cause? But why, Michael, what happened between then and now?
Yeah, but, Rich, you touched on it. They'll break down a family. But even in my work on this skilled trade shortage, I used to blame counselors and parents. But now they say parents, parents, and parents. And it's funny, the kids run these schools, but there's got to be a law and order thing. They got to be afraid of somebody in the schools. The teachers really have no power because they're threatened to lose their job if they discipline at all.
That's exactly right. And that's where has to be turned around.
I gave a teacher a smart aleck answer as a sophomore at a private school. I gave him a smart answer, and it was my first day. at the school. And 3 minutes later, two of the other cadets helped me up off the floor because I finally caught my breath. He hit me dead center in the middle of the chest. And to this day, if you talk to Ollie Savella, who is the guy that hit me for the comment that I made, and I deserved it. It was a really smart-ass comment, and I deserved to be hit, and I was. And when I got back up, and he sat there and gave me a lecture that lasted about 20 minutes, I concluded the conversation by saying to him, and he'll tell you this to this day, I concluded that conversation by saying, you don't have to tell my father about this, do you? Because I knew he'd knock me out, too.
Yeah, and Larkin, you met my father. He's 81. He tells me every day how he was beat by his mother with the broom. And he said if he was bullying, if he ever mentioned bullying, if he ever told his mother he was in a fight at school, she'd beat him again.
Yeah, yeah. He'd have to go to school with a black eye the next day
every day.
Own up to you were bullying somebody, so now I bullied you, and you wear it for a couple days.
But I think it made you take care of your own problems.
I'd get so angry at those teachers, at those nuns. I'd get so angry I could barely look at them. And my father would say, you walk into that school, and you walk directly to Sister Mary Fabian's room. Immediately upon arrival in that school, and you walk into that room and you apologize to her. You tell her you're sorry for what you did.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
That was a hard apology. Very hard.
You didn't bring your lawyer, Larkin, and say, hey, we're going to sue you?
Yeah.
That's today.
Well, yeah, we should.
You know, Larkin, we're talking about
kids all day long, and then say, "Well, we don't want you to discipline them, though."
You know,
because we're afraid you might hit them.
Rich, I'm going to ask you a question. How do you feel this should be best handled from here on in?
Well, how I think it should be handled, Michael, and how it will be handled are going to be two entirely different things, because how it should be handled is for the nation as a whole to have a very uncomfortable conversation with themselves about what the true causes of all this is. And the true causes of it all is that the current generation, the millennials and the younger millennials, have been made into, so many of them, I'm not saying all, but so many of them have been made into anti-American, anti-law and order, anti-sovereignty, pro-socialists, period, where they walk around with Che Guevara T-shirts and put masks on and riot.
Okay, Richard, I'm going to ask you a question because everybody will ask me this question.
How
did the kids get taught to be that way?
It takes a village. It's called It Takes a Village.
But how did the kids get those ideas to be that way?
Because many good parents, Michael, let me be clear about this point, okay? Because I have a message to sell. You don't shame people by selling the message. There are many good-hearted, many well-intended parents, but very unsuspecting. And very unsuspecting about what the warning signs are, about what their kids are hearing, where they're seeing it, what's around them. That's why I said to you guys earlier, my mother said to me, I would not want to be a parent in this generation right now. And you know, Larkin, that's a sad thing to say, right? I mean, you think about that. That's a really, really sad thing to say. Michael, the war is won or lost within the four walls. We can debate national policy, right, Curtis, tax policy. We can have all these big debates and, you know, have long 8-hour speeches on the floor like Nancy Pelosi did. But what does it really come down to? It comes down to the thing that no one really nationally is talking about, which is what's going on in the four walls? What's going on in the home? What's really going on? What's really happening? And I think a lot of people, Michael, are avoiding this uncomfortable subject. Not really avoiding. I should clarify that. It's not that they're intentionally not addressing it. I just don't think a lot of people know.
And also, there's another thing. There's another.
If you don't know what you don't know, you don't really know what to look for.
But you know what else, too, Richard? A lot of the parents don't want to say something, you know, overbearing to their kids, because a lot of times the kids will say, oh, mom or dad, that's not the way it is anymore. Things have changed since you've been a kid in school. This is also a problem, and that's why I feel the forums would be very good. And Larkin, a friend of yours, did call, and I want to thank Curtis for being with us today. He has another radio engagement. But Mr. Bruce is on the phone. Bruce, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
I'm fine. I'm a bit late coming to this, but I just have a couple of thoughts. You know, as you all know, I'm British. I've lived here over 40 years. And one of the things I remember, and this goes to something, I can't remember who said it, that guns have been around here forever. But I remember early on a friend of mine where I was working wanted to go and buy himself a revolver, and I said, well, can I come along with you? And we both went, this was in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and we both went into this gun store there, and I looked around, and it was the first time I'd ever been in a gun store. I've been in plenty of armories before because I used to be in the Army, but and I didn't think much about it till years later, but the guns I saw on display there were mostly revolvers, a few automatics, and lots of shotguns, and quite a few bolt-action rifles, mostly for hunting, some old military rifles and what have you. But I can tell you right now, amongst them was not a single, and this is in the sort of mid to late 70s, there was a single assault rifle or spray gun automatics or anything in that form. I know it may have been Westchester, it may have been different, but...
But Bruce, I'm going to ask you a question. How easy was it for your friend to buy that gun?
Well, he had to show his driver's license, and that was about it. I don't think they recorded anything. This is in the late 70s. And I can't, to be honest, remember exactly what he went through, but it seemed pretty simple to me.
Very interesting. You see, in the 70s, we did not have this idea where you can just get angry and decide to go and take someone else's life. In today's world...
But you didn't have the guns to do it either, even if you did.
Michael, Larkin and Bruce, I hope you don't get mad at me when I'm about to do, because you're a guest on our show, Bruce, and I thank you for coming on. And Larkin, please don't hate me. But Bruce... Assault weapons are not legal in America.
Yeah,
just because you call it an assault weapon doesn't make it such. It doesn't. There's no such thing. The scariest, the scary rifle you call an assault weapon is the same as a hunting rifle. Am I correct, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to say there's no automatic weapon sold. I got my FFL.
Not legally available.
You can't own an automatic
rifle. Legally
available.
Right.
Have you ever
fired an assault rifle?
It's a semi-automatic is the proper technique.
Well, Bruce, an assault rifle is when you hold the trigger and bullets keep coming out. That's not legal in America.
Not legal
in the United
States.
Years.
I'm sorry. I was in the Army, and the rifle I was given, which is
right,
an L1A1.
The military. You can't walk around with a military rifle in America legally, Bruce.
But it was called an assault rifle.
Yep.
Correct, because the military uses assault rifles. Civilians don't legally.
Well, it was. I can go and buy one now. But it was a single, you know, I couldn't pull the trigger and burst fire. It was a single shot.
Like I said in the outset, I just want to keep it factual, guys. I'm all for safety, but if we're gonna say stuff that's just simply not correct, but we want it to mean correct, Bruce, I'm sorry. I don't mean to call you out on this, but what you're saying is not actually true. It's not factual.
I just like to add, I'm in New York State, which is the toughest gun laws, I believe, in the country. Pistol permit takes you about 12 months. If I buy a pistol at a gun store, it takes me a week to get one. You've got to go purchase it. You've got to go put it on your permit, come back with a coupon on a different day. A rifle, if it's an M16 we buy, which is a 223, which is the size of a 22 caliber, they act like it's a cannon, but we have to have a clip that is non-removable on an M16. We have what's called the SAFE Act in New York State. New York State is the toughest state in the United States to have a weapon.
And that's really the way it should be. That's really how it should
be. I live in a state, and I'm very high with the we do a lot of training and stuff, so... There is a lot of proper, but mental health illness and things, I think a lot of these shootings, the FBI, if they would have reacted, or the authorities and the people, you would not even be talking about some of them. And I hope people learn that, listen better. about your surrounding and what's going on, too. And these are all things that have to be addressed, but it's not the problem.
No, I mean, there are lots and lots of problems. But, you know, as you probably know, I come from a country where you can't buy a pistol even if you want one. And I don't know what the murder rate there is with, you know, pistols, rifles, or anything else, but it's under 100 a year in a nation of 64
million people. In some areas are double, you know, it's like illegal drugs. I mean, they're still sold. You create a black market, so there's always a way to get one.
Yeah, there's always a way to get one. But criminals in England who get guns, the last thing they want to do is to let anybody else know they have them. So they pretty much keep them to themselves. And, it's just a different world, and I know it is, and I certainly don't have anything to preach, but I think that, you know, what Americans need to review is a whole panoply of the gun thing. If I had my way, I would look at the Second Amendment and say, from now on, you can carry guns that were available or carry weapons that were available in 1776, and that is a
semi-automatic rifles existed before the Constitution, Bruce. It was called the pucker rifle.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you know, how many people got hold of those?
Gentlemen,
I have bad news for you on this. If you remove the gun crime rate in all of our Democratic cities, our crime rate is lower than heaven's.
Gentlemen, I hate to say it, but we're at that time, and I want to thank all of you. And as we close off today's broadcast, because of our discussion, I'm going to ask that we pause now and enjoy this selection.